May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 591. How blessed is the man who in Jesus believes, and on him can cast all his cares. A righteousness full and complete he receives, that hides all his guilt, sin, and fears. Hymn 591.
Thank you.
We shall read two portions from the Word of God. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, followed by the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make again of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I should not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. And now the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to our souls. And now may he help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, how we need thee now to breathe into our heart a breath of real prayer. Oh, may we never be left to pray as the Pharisees did, thus with ourselves. But oh, may we know that true indicting of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be taught of thee how to pray and what to pray for. O Lord, as thou hast spared us once more to gather, we pray that we may be in the spirit as dear John of old was on the Lord's Day, that we may truly worship thee in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, we pray for thy sweet and sacred presence to be sweetly known both in our souls and too within these walls, and that we may prove what the dear hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Oh, we pray to be emptied of self, Lord, emptied of this world, and that thou wilt come and fill us with thyself. And oh, may we have the desire of those Greeks of old when they came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And oh, we do pray, dear Lord, for a glimpse by faith of Jesus only this day. And may our souls be humbled, Lord, and melted. May we be truly tender and in the fear of God all the day long. O Lord, as we venture, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. That name that prevails above every name. O Lord, may we have a sweet access at the throne of grace. And oh, that our poor petitions, Lord, may be heard and answered in thy time and in thy way. We do pray, Lord, that we may be given grace to confess our many, many sins before thee. Oh, we would be found as true penitent sinners at thy dear feet, begging and pleading for mercy. Oh, we would come with the dear hymn writer when he said, "Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me." Oh, do come, dear Lord, and sweetly assure us that thou hast put away all our sins, where thou hast redeemed us, that we are thine. Oh, we pray for thy help to make our calling and election sure. And we would not give thee any rest until thou dost assure us. Oh, do come and seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick soul. And oh, may there be those filled with thy love, that they may run in thy delightful way and keep thy commandments and live. Oh, do give us faith, dear Lord, to believe. We seem so often so faithless, plagued by unbelief. Oh, do take it all away, Lord. We may be like the dear man in thy word when he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Who come to those that have many things to make them weep and mourn, Lord. We pray that thou wilt hasten the hour when thou wilt turn their mourning into joy. Thou wilt make a way for them that they may see the wonders God alone can do, that their sorrows may flee away, and joy succeed the night. You help those, Lord, that are tried and tempted. Thou knowest, O Lord, the many trials, the many temptations thy dear people have to walk through, and how they are tried and severely tossed. But, O Lord, do cast the adversary out and grant liberty and assurance to thy dear children that thou hast done all things well for them and in them. O, do come, Lord, and set at liberty those in bondage. Oh, that there may be those loosed and let go. And we pray for those, Lord, that may need thee in some special way, and those that have got hard and impossible things, may they sweetly prove that those things that are impossible with men are possible with thee. O Lord, do bless the dear children, the dear young people. We pray thou wilt preserve them and keep them, watch over them, and do save them from this bewitching world which has to death 10,000 hurled. And may there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And O Lord, do hear the prayers we pray of dear parents and grandparents and those that pray for the young and rising race. And oh, may there be those raised up to be pillars in Zion in their day and generation. O Lord, we would pray for those that hope to marry later on this year, Lord. We seek thy rich blessing upon them, and that they may feel thy presence, thy smile upon them, and that it may be a special day, both in their souls and to in their pathway. And oh, we would thank thee, Lord, for bringing our dear granddaughter safely through and granting her a little daughter. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt be with dear mother and babe, Oh, may these little ones, Lord, be raised up to seek thee and to serve thee. Lord, we remember those away at this time. We would lovingly commend them to thee, that thou wilt be with them, Lord, and preserve their going out and coming in. May they be refreshed both in body, in mind and in soul, and brought safely back at the appointed time. Lord, we remember those in affliction. We think of one of our own congregation in all the afflictions upon her in the hospital. Lord, who guide the surgeons, Lord, what to do, and may it be beneficial to her that she may be spared if it's thy will. And others, Lord, that are laid aside, we pray for that needed healing, restoring mercies. But oh, may grace be given that each one may be submissive to thy mind and to thy will. Oh, we pray for our own flock as they gather today, and do help thy servant with them. May it be a time of sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and may there be that real fruit to follow. Grant him and each of thy servants gracious liberty, the anointing of thy Spirit. And oh, may they and may we each prove that a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And do remember this corner of thy vineyard. We would thank thee for thy many mercies to them, thy goodness. We pray that thou wilt prosper each one in their souls. And oh, do prosper the church, Lord, that may be others constrained to say with the dear psalmist, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And oh, we pray that there may be real fruit throughout the churches, and thy precious name honoured and glorified. In the midst of deserved wrath, Lord, do remember this nation. Oh, do work in our Prime Minister and the leaders in government and those that bear office in the land. And may they be brought to turn to thee and to look to thee for all wisdom and guidance and understanding in all things, and to do that which is right in thy sight, and not in the sight of man or in their own sight. Lord, we need thee to work. Deliver us from the evil and violent men, and all that would disrupt the peace of the nation, and preserve thy people. And oh, we pray that thou wilt bless our Queen with thy grace and the royal household too, and that they may set a right example, Lord, in this land. And oh, do help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies in providence and in grace, and all thy favours, Lord, unworthy as we are of the least of them. And oh, we pray that thou wilt bless the deacons here and give them wisdom and grace and guidance in all things, and do bless the hymns they give out. And may there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Thou wilt give us strength for this hour and voice to speak. And grant, we pray, a true spirit of hearing to thy people. May they lose sight of this poor man and see no man save Jesus only. Do make up in giving where we fail in asking. Pardon what we've uttered amiss, all our many, many sins and transgressions, and accept us in the Beloved. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 615. Sinners called by grace and blessed with a living faith in Christ must not think to be caressed by a world of sin and vice. Satan's agents cannot love the Saviour's choice. Hymn 615.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the First Epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and the 10th verse. The First Epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and verse 10. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The First Epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Dear Peter was wonderfully anointed by the Holy Spirit, not only in his ministry to preach on the day of Pentecost and too in Cornelius' house and on other occasions, but too to write this epistle to them that were scattered abroad. And in this concluding chapter of the First Epistle, it's a very sacred chapter because in it there are so many gracious exhortations. And how vital they were when he set them forth, and how vital they are today. To God's dear children. And I just want to name one or two things in leading up to the text. First of all, the great need of humility. And if ever a man knew what it was to need humbling, dear Peter did. He was a very forthright character and very determined in his own way naturally. And if ever a man spoke for the disciples, it was Peter. But oh, you look how in that hour of temptation he fell. But oh, wonderfully the Lord brought him to go out as soon as the cock crew and to weep bitterly. A very humble Peter, given a broken and a contrite heart. And so he well exhorts them here to that wonderful grace. Likewise, he says, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed in humility. Oh, how sacred it is when the Lord clothes his people with gracious humility, willing to be nothing, that he might be the all and in all. And then he speaks, for God resisteth the proud, but and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you in due time. But then he gives them this further gracious exhortation. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And when is it we can cast all our cares upon him? When we're truly humbled. And then we can cast them all, leave them all at his dear feet. Now, I don't know what cares you may have today, whether they're of soul, of circumstance, in your pathway, in the family. But, you know, we need this exhortation continually, don't we? Casting all, that is, leaving it all in the Lord's hands, spreading it all before him. And of course, many sermons could be preached on it. It's a very sacred and blessed subject. For he careth for you. You know, you'd be a happy soul today, wouldn't you, if the Lord sweetly said this to you. For he careth for you. And the apostle, you know, Peter, as those he writes to, he was persuaded by the Holy Spirit, there were those the Lord cared for because he loved them. They were his dear children. And may the Lord sweetly assure us of that. But then, finally, before we come to the text, he speaks of the dangers there are to the child of God. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, there are many dangers, aren't there, to the real child of God. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Dangers of every shape and form. And Satan knew with Peter his weak point. And he knew just how to attack him. And each of us have got our weak points. And he knows just how to attack. And he knows that weak point you have and I have. And he will do all he can to try and destroy the child of God. But he speaks this to them, warning them of the danger of this mighty adversary, Satan. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And then he begins our text, but the God of all grace. It seemed very sweet to me last thing, the God of all grace. And how could these souls, and how can you, and how can I resist the devil? Only as the Lord gives us grace. So what does the dear apostle do? He directs the child of God heavenward to the God of all grace. But the God of all grace. And you know, there's a wonderful fullness of grace in the dear Lord Jesus. And when he was enabled to pen this by the Holy Spirit's divine inspiration, dear Peter could have this beautiful view of the grace that shone forth in the dear Lord Jesus. And he has promised, hasn't he, to give more grace. We read in the Acts of the Apostles where they had great grace given to them. And if ever there was a day we need grace, do we not today? And so he directs the child of God to the God of all grace. Now it may be that you're in things today that you're maybe walking in, and you may say, oh, how I need grace, how to act, how to deal with things. And we do, don't we? And it's not found in man by nature. Only the Lord can give it. And he's promised to give grace to his dear people. And I want to look at this particularly this morning as helped. The great need of grace to be given to us. You see, grace will make, when it is given by God, a blessed, impression upon the soul that he gives it to. You look at the difference between Saul of Tarsus when he was in unregeneracy and when the Lord gave him grace. You see, by nature, we're full of ourselves, we're full of the world, we may even be full of natural religion. And we're satisfied with that. Until the Lord gives us grace. And when he gives us grace, and what does this merely mean, you know? It's a wonderful word, isn't it, grace? If you really want the meaning of it in its simplicity, it's this. It's God's free, unmerited favour to sinners. They do nothing to merit it. You know, there are those in religious circles that say, well, if you do this and do that, you'll inherit grace. You never will, child of God. It's a gift of God. You think of what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. By grace are ye saved. No other way. Grace can save the blackest, vilest of sinners. I remember the late Mr. Mulvey preaching from that, you know, once at Cranbrook, that was over 50 years ago. And, oh, it was such a searching sermon in Cranbrook Chapel, you know. Many of us trembled as he preached from it. The great need of being given grace. But he said, friends, and something I've never forgot, he said, you know, the drunkard on the pub corner in Cranbrook can be in heaven. And how will he be there? Saved by God's grace. It's this, the free, unmerited favour the Lord has to his dear people. And he gives them that saving grace that saves them from sin, saves them from self, saves them from the world, saves them from all natural religion, and gives them that grace to discern his mind, his will. And this is what the dear apostle was exhorting them to, the God of all grace, he that can give it to you. There may be one here that's troubled, Lord, have I got a grain of thy grace? If that's a real exercise to you, it's an evidence he's given you grace. I'll tell you why, because you could never really desire it in the reality without having that grace given to you to desire it. It's not the desire of the world, is it? It's not the desire of the ungodly. But it's the real desire of a real child of God. Lord, do give me grace in all things. And may grace abound in us. Sovereign, reigning grace. Well, let's look at it in a few ways as helped. You see, grace will show the sinner what they are. And there's the difference between the Pharisee in the Word of God and the publican. The Pharisee was pleased with himself, pleased with his prayers. Thank God that he was not as other men were, or even as this publican. And he lists a catalogue of things he'd not committed. He didn't know his own heart, did he? Think of what the Apostle Paul said under God's grace. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You look at the dear publican. He smote upon his breast. Grace was working in him, showing him his sin, showing him his vileness, showing him his poverty, showing him his emptiness. And how does he cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner? You may say, well, it's easy to utter that, but oh, the dear man felt it, you know. And you know, if you've got a real religion, and I have it, it'll be a feeling religion, and we feel the sin, and we feel the need of a saviour. And it's under God's grace, you know, to be under. I feel more and more, the older I get, the need of grace and the need to be under the influence of grace. Left to ourselves and to our old nature, and I say it with shame, we're no better than the world when we know what we are under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. But our grace will make this difference, you see. It turned the apostle from the way of sin and it turned him to God. And grace reigned in him. You may say, oh, but I know so much of the reigning of sin within me and the reigning of self and the reigning of Satan within. But you know, the Lord will give you grace to resist, as we looked at just now, the devil. Oh yes. And as he gives the sinner grace, they cannot do it themselves. We read, don't we? Resist the devil and he shall flee from thee. You may say, what, that arch enemy? Yeah, under God's grace, he will flee from thee. As grace reigns in thee. But then, where this grace is given, there's a real looking to the Lord. He'll give the sinner the grace of faith to look heavenwards. They can't look anywhere else. You think of dear Jonah when he was in the depths of the sea. The weeds were wrapped about his head. He went down to the bottom of the mountain. What does he say? Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. That holy temple was a precious Jesus. He that could give him all the grace that he needed. What do we read in John's Gospel? He giveth grace for grace. Wonderful thing that is, isn't it? But then, he give you grace to confess your sin. And grace to mourn over them. And grace to plead to be washed from all those sins that trouble you. And grace to plead the precious name and precious blood and glorious merits of the dear Redeemer. But the God of all grace. And this is what we would lovingly commend to you today. Whatever be your state or case, you go to the God of all grace. And when he gives you grace, he'll give you discernment. Oh, you know, it's a wonderful thing, natural discernment, isn't it? But a far greater so, spiritual discernment. You know, some of the old saints in my early days in the ministry, they used to have such wonderful discernment. They knew those things that were from God and they knew what was only their own thoughts and their own making. And the Lord gave them that discernment. And the same thing regarding the ministry. One of our old deacons that used to be in London, You know, he said, I have anyone that's ventured out into the ministry to preach, I'll hear them once. And he said, if I don't detect any of the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the right discerning of the word, he sent them home dinner time. Such was the grace that was in the dear man, such discernment. I remember the late Mr. George Jempson saying to me, he said, you know, if all the deacons in our denomination were like that dear man, he said, a light minister would never be in the pulpit. They had that wonderful discernment, you see. And oh, the grace we need to discern, and to discern the Lord's mind and the Lord's will in things. It may be you're in something today, you say, what shall we do in it? Plead for grace that he would show you his way and his will. And grace will discern it, you see. The mind and the will of God. And we need it continually, don't we? There are many matters in the pathway the child of God comes into. Lord, what shall we do in this and what shall we do in that? Plead for grace. There's a beautiful couplet in the hymn, isn't it? Show me what I have to do, and every hour my strength renew. And oh, that grace, you see. But then, do we not need grace to be submissive? To the Lord's mind and the Lord's will. You may have thought, well, why did we read that chapter in Paul's second epistle, rather, of the Corinthians? Well, because of this, the Lord had laid on him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And you know, there are things the Lord lays upon his dear people. Sometimes it's an affliction. As I mentioned in prayer, a dear lady in our own congregations in hospital, and you know, it's a deep affliction upon her. And she said to me the other day, you know, if only I had grace to bear it. And we need, you know, much grace to be submissive, don't we? It may be you're in something today and you cannot understand it. Think of the Apostle Paul. We read of it this morning, didn't we? The dear man had been wonderfully blessed, caught up into the third heaven, saw things not lawful to be uttered, lifted right out of the earth in his own soul. And what did the Lord do? He gave him something to balance it all, lest, he said, I should be exalted above measure. You know, I proved over the years, and I say this lovingly, you know, if the Lord favours us and abundantly favours us in our souls, we don't go long before there's the ballast to keep us down. And this is what the Lord did with the Apostle Paul. He gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. How could he bear it? You may say, in some of the things you walk through in your soul and in the pathway, Lord, how can we bear it? You cannot yourself, can you? But he will give you grace. And you think of the Apostle Paul. What did the Lord speak to him? That beautiful word. And may he speak it to your soul and mine today. My grace is sufficient for thee. and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Absolutely sufficient that grace that he gives you will be to you, to bear that thorn, that cross, that affliction, and to be submissive to it, you see. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Lord, submissive, make us God, gladly leaving all below. Oh, to be submissive. Resigned to his mind and to his will, you see. And that's a wonderful sign of grace where there's that sweet submission. We've got an old nature that's so often rebellious, haven't we? Things come and our old nature begins to rise. We rebel. We kick, and I say to my shame, it's in me. Oh, how we have to mourn the rebelliousness there is in us so often. But oh, what a mercy when the Lord comes and he melts the sinner and he makes them tender and submissive under his grace. And you think of the dear apostle, the submission that was given to him. You know, we're often like the apostle Paul when he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And we do, Lord, take it away. We can't bear it. We can't endure it. Well, you know, he'll give you grace to. Oh, he will. I thought of that beautiful hymn earlier, and it's a wonderful hymn, you know. And dear Mr. Dotheridge, when he penned it, knew it in his own soul's experience. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Grace first contrived a way to save rebellious man, and all the steps that grace display, which drew the wondrous plan. Grace first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my soul to pray and pardoning love to know. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day and will not let me go. Grace all the work shall crown through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone and well deserves the praise. You know that sweet language to the real child of God. It will soften a hard heart when he gives you grace, poor soul. So the dear Apostle Peter, he commends them. And this is so with me. I don't know why, but we would commend you to this, the God of all grace. He can work wondrously. He can do those things that are impossible with men, the God of all grace. And he'll give you grace according to the trial, according to the trouble, according to your need to endure. And I just want to pause a moment on that briefly. You know, it's one of the great concerns of a real child of God. Shall I endure to the end? You know, the world come to the end. The ungodly, they just come to the end. And it's a very solemn thing, you know. The hour will come with each of us when we will have to face a holy God and stand before him exactly as we are. And what a solemn thing to die without grace. And to just come to the end. But what a blessed thing to endure there. Jesus said to the disciples, didn't he? Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now there's a solemn implication there. There will be those that don't endure. I remember the old deacon saying to me in London in my early days, you know, he said he had a lady that was from India, used to attend the chapel, and she went home to India after a season in this country. And she used to write to the dear old deacon at the chapel. And he said, I felt such a knitting to her in this sense that he said, she put in her last letter to me, my great concern is, shall I endure to the end? And the dear old deacon said, I felt that's just how I am. Shall I endure to the end? Well, poor soul, you cannot endure, nor can I, without the Lord give you grace to. That enduring grace. What does the hymn writer say? Grant us such supplies of grace that we might persevere. And you think of dear Job. How was it he persevered through all the trials that he was, because the Lord gave him grace and submission to submit to the Lord's will and to the Lord's mind in it all. I've told you before, and I bear saying, I expect again, but I should never forget in my teenage days being very rebellious about things in Providence, things in my soul. It seemed such a dark place. And I was in a hop garden in Kent. And I was so rebellious. And I say it to my shame before the Lord. But the Lord knows how to soften you and make you tender. And I should never forget it. As I walked up that hop garden alley, the Lord spoke audibly from heaven these words to me. And I trembled. Rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. And I had to say in my soul, Lord, I am. And I wept, you know, over this rebelliousness. And then he melted me with this word. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. And you know, as he spoke that, as since in love, and you know, the love of Christ just flowed in my soul, and he melted me and made me so tender and humble. I said, Lord, thy will be done, not mine. And the sweet submission, you know, I felt I couldn't go on, you see, but you've got to endure, poor soul. You've got to continue. And how can you continue? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. And how can you sing when you're in sorrow and sadness here? Give you grace to. We had a dear old lady at the Dicker, you know, years ago, and she was walking through ever so much trial in her pathway and in her soul. And she went into the chapel feeling the ends of the earth. And she looked on the hymn board, and the first hymn was number 9. Awake my soul in joyful lays to sing thy great Redeemer's praise. And she said to the Lord, Lord, I can never sing it. And you know, the dear deacon got up and gave it out. And the congregation, of course, were all singing and she was silent. And then they got to this line. You see, it says, doesn't it, awake my soul in joyful lays to sing thy great Redeemer's praise. And then this, he justly claims a song from thee. His loving kindness, oh how free. And you know, as the congregation sweetly sung this, he justly claims. And you know, the Lord spoke it right into her soul. She said, I had to sing the rest of the hymn. He claims it. Our praise. He claims this from his dear people. He justly claims a song from thee. And you know, it was the means of turning the dear woman's captivity. Oh, to have grace. But he says here, but the God of all grace. Well, just briefly before I leave it, he says, but the God of all grace. It won't matter what grace you need, poor soul. It's found in the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, it is. Where it's the grace of faith to look out of yourself to the Lord, where it's the grace to pray, whether it's the grace to endure, whether it's the grace to continue, whether it's upholding grace, and we need upholding, don't we? Who can hold us up but thou, the hymn writer said. Grace will hold the sinner up when everything around them's sinking. And so he says, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, called to serve him, called to obey him, called to follow him, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. You know, he puts his grace, just to put it simply, he puts his grace in his dear people that they may glorify his precious name here, but it's for an eternal glory in heaven. The God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And these souls that are blessed with this grace here will crown him Lord of all in glory. Oh, they will. And it's all to the glory of God, you see. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. And who is it that will glory in him? The real child of God, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. And if he's called you unto his eternal glory, poor soul, you have a blessed prospect before you. You may say, oh, but I'm in so much trial and trouble and distress of soul and pathway. How can it be for his glory? Thou shalt see my glory soon when the work of grace is done. And oh, to have that faith to believe that we shall glorify his precious name. Oh, you think of dear Job when he came out of all the trial and how the Lord so blessed him and gave him double that he had before, how he could glorify the Lord's name. And even during that trial, you know, he could glorify the Lord's name, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. I must leave it, but think, poor soul, and may the Holy Spirit so whisper this to your poor soul and mine today, who hath called us, may we be among that us, unto his eternal glory. By Christ Jesus, every grace and every favour flows to us through Jesus' precious blood. Oh, it does. And then he goes further, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And this is what the Lord was to do. Well, may it be granted to us. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £730, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. There'll be no Sunday school this afternoon. Let us close with hymn 177. Soon as faith the Lord can see, bleeding on the cross for me, quick my idols all depart, Jesus gets and fills my heart. Hymn 177.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. Do be with us now in the interval. And come up with us through the rest of the day, if it would please. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.